How many times are you going to make me say it? That means working with the pack, not pissing them off. Glacier closed his eyes, listening to Kelzeb rant. He deserved it. His boss finally stopped talking. In my defense, Kevin is an asshole. He said you sucker-punched him while shelled. He's lying. I didn't shell until after I decked him in the face, and I only knocked him out because he was drunk as shit, trying to fight me. He couldn't even walk straight. I told you the facts. Should I have allowed his drunken ass to attack me and just, what, bowed down to take it until he wore himself out? The pack could have been attacked while they watched that bullshit. I needed to act fast. Was I wrong? Kelzeb growled. No. But he says his pack has lost all respect for him and he's received 2 official challenge requests from his enforcers because of your actions. He's pissed and has threatened to reach out to other packs to let them know you tried to overtake his. He needs to be challenged. Those Lycans deserve a better alpha. That's utter bullshit about me trying to steal his job, though. You know I don't want to lead a pack. Besides, we both know if I wanted his job, he'd be dead instead of bitching at you on the phone. What else do you want me to say? I'm not sorry. I handled the vamp situation. This was about saving Lycan kids to me, not soothing that asshole's pride. End of threat. Job done. Kelzeb sighed. Understood. God knows I've wanted to punch a few alphas. Avioth has sent me to visit PAX to cement the agreements when they request a guardian. I have to represent him a few times a year, and I fucking hate it. He says I need to leave the cliffs occasionally. Bullshit. But I get why you didn't want to dick around with Kevin. I'm not fond of him after listening to him repeatedly whine. You should leave the territory, though. I'll leave first thing tonight. It's sunrise in less than an hour. Right. Because you have a vampire to think about. Traveling during the day is too risky. Fuck. I can just imagine getting pulled over by human authorities and them checking your trunk where you'd have to stash her to keep her alive. I drive a motorcycle.
Kelzeb chuckled. Glacier relaxed. He couldn't be in too much trouble for the stunt he'd pulled with drunk Kevin if his boss had retained a sense of humor.
You're sure about taking her on your next mission, then? You think she'll follow the rules you set? Yes.
He waited to see what response he'd get. Kelzeb sighed again.
Fine. You're responsible, though. You're also going to need to keep her away from other vampires, from what you've told me. That's going to limit where I can send you.
He hesitated.
Are you willing to do that for her? I'm talking wilderness shit. Maybe even assigning you to be a guardian to a Lycan pack. You'd have to keep her in their territory and out of cities.
His chest tightened.
I know. Damn, Glacier. Are you thinking about mating her? It's too soon. I don't know yet.
All right. I know you hate snow and request places to avoid it, but you're shit out of luck. We have a family association pack in Wyoming. Hawk's brother-in-law is Alpha there. Chaz and Frey visit their uncle whenever they have some downtime. The pack hasn't asked for a guardian, but they might accept you into their territory with Mandy. There's also Colorado. One of the Vamp Lycan's clan leaders, Treyas, has a half-brother Alpha there. They would probably be open to having a vampire in their territory, since I'll make it clear you're responsible for her. I'll reach out to both Alphas today. Hopefully one of them agrees. There are 2 packs we can trust not to betray that she's there.
Thank you.
The downside is they'll expect guardian duties provided. That means you'll be scouting at night. I guess you could have her fly patrols with you, otherwise you'll be working while she's awake. You're also going to have to find a way to feed her.
She can control human minds. That's going to be a bonus when I must deal with poachers. Frankly, I hope they have a bunch of them. She'll have a source of food.
True. Kelzeb hesitated.
I know you hate being stuck in one location for more than a few months. As long as you're with this Mandy, I know. My wandering days are over. You thought this out? I have. I'm prepared to stay in one location for as long as needed to keep Mandy safe.
Okay,
I'll call you later today. It would be rude to wake up Alphas this early to ask a favor. He chuckled. You'll hear from me around noon your time. I'll find you a place to live. Thanks. Good luck.
Glacier hung up and entered the shop from the alley he'd used for privacy. Pest waited inside.
What's the verdict? Kelzeb is cool. He's going to find me a lichen pack to become guardian to. That way I can keep Mandy off council radar. No vamps can report her if they don't see her. I'll just keep her deep in lichen territory. I should know where we're going around noon today.
I'll get you a cargo van as soon as the rental place is open. I figure that'll be good to transport her and your motorcycle in.
He lifted his phone, tapping at it.
I'll just wait until tonight and drive my motorcycle with her. She's going to need clothes, though, and I don't have a second helmet. I'll go shopping today while you watch over her.
I'd rather shop, bro. No offense, but do you even know what size she wears?
No, but I'll just ask her.
Pest snorted.
I've got this. Unlike you, I have girlfriends from time to time. Not just one-night stands.
I don't have to risk my balls by asking a woman her sizes. Some get weird about it or embarrassed.
Save yourself the headache. I've learned to size them up accurately.
Have you ever bought a woman clothes before?
Glacier shook his head.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I'll go. I didn't get a good look at her breasts, though, since she's been wearing your shirts. Then again, I'd be doing you a favor if she didn't wear bras.
Hers is upstairs. I'll take a peek.
Pest snickered.
Don't get caught, pervert.
Glacier flipped him off.
Then I'll just ask her.
Don't.
Pest turned toward the stairs and raised his voice.
Hey, Shortstack, can you come down here for a minute?
Mandy joined them right away. She'd showered recently and sported another borrowed shirt and a pair of boxers. Her gaze went to Glacier.
You wanna talk down here?
I actually had a few questions for you about this council.
Pest motioned to Glacier.
You go up and wait for her. Text me what I wanted to know.
Glacier nodded.
Remember the helmet. I want something with tinting to keep anyone from seeing her face tonight while we're traveling. Hair dyed, too. One of those quick spray-in deals. The reek from that will help mask her scent, too, and we'll only need her hair color changed while traveling. Those wash right out. Black. I want to change her appearance. Maybe some makeup to hide how pale she is, since we'll be making stops for gas. Can you handle all that?
Easy.
I'll leave soon. There's one of those 24-hour superstores not too far from here. I won't have to wait for anything to open by shopping there. I'll see you in a few minutes,
he said to Mandy, rushing up the stairs to dig up her bra size. He found it quickly and texted it to his brother. Then took a seat on the bed.
Do you have a phone number for the council?
Mandy shook her head at Pest.
I had Korski's number on my cell phone and an emergency contact number in case I couldn't reach him, but your brother tossed my phone. It had a tracker in it.
Understood. My brother said there's a second assassin in town. Would she have those same numbers?
Mandy's heart raced. The question implied that Olivia still lived. She had been too afraid to ask Glacier if her friend had found him yet, or if he'd gone after her. Part of her didn't want to know the answer.
Yes.
Do you know what full name Korski is going by?
Joseph Korski, she spelled it. New York City. I doubt he'd be listed in a phone directory, though.
Probably not.
Can I ask why you want phone numbers? Are you planning to let the council know what went down here?
It's a good idea, but I can't tell you with certainty that Korski can be trusted. He might be the one who covered for Marco. Korski is the one who gives us our orders.
Fair enough.
His phone beeped. He smiled.
That was it. Go talk to my brother.
Mandy found Glacier sitting on the bed. He'd removed his boots. She closed the door to give them some privacy and leaned against it. He looked sexy. But then he always did. The bed seemed small with his big body sitting on the side of it. The hole in his jeans by his hip bothered her. She couldn't pick up any blood, but something had happened. It hadn't been there when he'd left. His pale blue eyes were beautiful as they locked with hers.
My boss is going to assign me to watch over a lichen pack on my next assignment. I'll find out where we're going later today. The pack will keep vampires out of their territory. You'll be stuck inside their perimeter, but no one will be able to see you to tell the council you're alive. I asked Pez to buy stuff to help change your appearance while we ride my bike tonight.
I heard that part. Black hair like you, huh? He smiled.
You look good as a blonde, but I like the black hair with blue streaks you used to sport, too. We're going to either Colorado or Wyoming. It means we might be on the road for a few nights.
Day travel is out? I'm sorry about that. You're probably not used to having your movements restricted. He shrugged.
No biggie. The nice thing is I might need your mental abilities. Packs deal with poachers more than you'd think. You can make them forget our encounters and embed them with the urge to never return to the area.
We're going to be work partners then. He sucked in a deep breath and blew it out. His gaze slowly lowered down her body before he stared into her eyes again.
I'm attracted to you, Mandy.
She hadn't expected him to admit that, but still she tensed. But?
No but. I just want to be clear. I'm not saying you have to become my lover, but it's on the table.
His voice turned husky.
I want you, baby. You can't imagine how much.
She was glad to be leaning against the door. You don't do the same woman twice. I remember. And I wouldn't be okay with you bed hopping. He stood and walked closer, stopping inches away from her.
I couldn't allow you to get close to me when we worked together at Bucket. You know what it's like to pretend to be human. Always having to watch your every word and action, to not give something away that could make them suspicious. I knew there was no damn way I could hide my true nature from you if we dated, or hell, moved in together. But I definitely had the urge to take you home with me. There was just something about you that drew me, Mandy. And you know what happens to humans who learn the truth. They are seen as dangerous. I couldn't risk your life.
She resisted the urge to touch him. I understand that. I felt the same toward you. Still do.
I'd like to be more than work partners. Lovers.
He reached out and rested his open palms on the door inches from her arms.
I don't want you to feel forced into it, though. I'd take you with me and keep you safe, even if you don't want to see where a relationship goes with us. No pressure.
Would this be a monogamous relationship?
Yes.
I'm in. She reached up and touched his shirt, loving the heat coming off his skin through the thin material. He had such a hard body, and she wanted to explore all of it. Her gums began to ache. We're going to have a few problems to deal with, though.
You can't bite me.
That? She nodded. My fangs already want to drop because you're so close.
Do you need blood to be able to climax?
She felt embarrassed to answer. No, I mean, I masturbate often. I sure don't bite myself. I've only had sex a few times as a vampire. She paused. No, we should be completely honest with each other. I want that kind of relationship with you. She inhaled deeply. I've only had sex once since I was turned. Surprise registered on his face. It didn't go well. That's why it only happened the one time. I've had a ton of male vamps hit on me, but I wasn't attracted to them. I live with a group of males. You'd understand if you knew them. They tend to brag about their conquests. It was a huge turnoff. It's the ultra-superiority complexes most of them display. I'm a god, worship me, blah, blah, blah. He grinned. It's true. Some of them brought women home. I've got excellent hearing. It took every ounce of control not to break into their rooms at times to castrate them. It was like some game to do things to women they didn't enjoy but force them to think they did.
I wasn't allowed to interfere, though, as long as they didn't kill or do something to leave lasting damage on the women. They came willingly. They left with altered memories. His amusement died and anger glinted in his eyes.
Like?
They tend to use mind control and push into any woman's head they're with. It's a dominance thing that I'm not into. They like sex the way they like it. There's no give and take. Olivia has done a few vamps over the years. Let's just say they aren't much different in bed with vampire women. She swore them off.
Is that what happened to the vampire you were with? Did he try to break into your mind? Force you to do things you weren't comfortable with?
She shook her head. He was human. It was after I'd finished my training by the council and assigned to the assassin house. I was lonely and sad. I thought I'd take myself shopping to cheer up, you know? The mall was open. I had bought myself a few outfits and then hit the food court just to watch people. To feel a part of being alive.
Glacier pulled her away from the door and led her to the bed, sat her on it, and took a seat next to her.
Go on.
This guy came up to ask if he could sit with me. Said I look sad. He was funny, nice, and cute. I'd never had a one-night stand before, but there it is. I thought I had my urges mastered, but I was still worried I might take too much blood or mess up taking over his mind in bed. I took him home with me. Olivia promised that she'd make sure I didn't hurt him, and she had more experience with altering memories. Our rooms are next to each other.
Tears filled her eyes.
It turned out he was immune.
Shit.
He flipped out after we had sex. I didn't bite him until the end. Olivia rushed in and tried to get control of him. She couldn't. By then, two other vamps in the house had heard the commotion. They rushed into my room. One of them killed him. It happened faster than I could stop it. Not that I would have been allowed to just let him go free. He realized I was a vampire and he knew where we lived.
He posed too much of a danger.
She nodded. Olivia said the same to comfort me. It didn't work. I never tried again. He died because he had sex with me. Out of all the men I finally chose to bring home, it had to be someone immune.
Oh, baby.
Glacier reached out and took her hand. She pulled herself together.
I didn't want to be with a vampire for the reasons I mentioned. Werewolves tend to hate us. I couldn't trust that one wouldn't kill me after. I wasn't risking a human a second time.
She held his gaze.
I'm glad you can overlook that I'm a vamp. I will want to bite you, but I'll resist. I just might get the urge to feed after. Worst case, to be honest.
He nodded.
We'll have to figure it out together. First thing, though, I am not half-human.
But your brother said you're a half-breed. Was he messing with me? You're all werewolf?
He tightened his hold on her hand.
I'm a Garlycan.
She heard his words. They sank in slowly. Then shock hit. Hard.
He smiled.
We do leave Alaska.
Her mouth parted, but she couldn't speak. She was too stunned.
My father was a gargoyle who mated my Lycan mother. They had four sons together. We took after our father on traits. I use body wash to mask the gargoyle scent. Mine's faint enough to do that. I don't shift into a wolf. I grow wings and can shell my body.
Garlycan. He can fly. Shit.
She hadn't seen that coming.
It's why you can't bite me. You're going to have to trust me on this. Really bad shit would happen if you took my blood, because I'm mostly gargoyle. I belong to Lord Aviat's clan in Alaska. My job is often as a troubleshooter, dealing with idiots who risk exposing humans to the truth that our races exist. Kelzeb is my boss. He's second in command to Lord Avioth and assigns my missions. Sometimes Lycan packs ask for our help, and if Lord Avioth agrees, he sends someone like me. There are also situations where we form long-term alliances with an alpha and his pack is given a guardian. They watch over the pack, literally. My youngest brother is a pack guardian. Creed scouts their territory at night by flying over to keep vampires and poachers from preying on them. He lives with that pack year-round with his mate. That's what I'm going to do next. We'll live with the pack I'm assigned to protect. Any questions?
She still reeled from his news. So many.
He smiled.
Go ahead.
You really fly? That's true?
He released her hand.
I can. Do you want to see me in gargoyle form?
I'm not sure, she admitted, wondering how frightening he would be. Yes, she couldn't resist the curiosity. Please.
He removed his shirt, baring his muscled upper body. Seconds ticked by, and then she heard soft pops. Black wingtips began to peek out from behind his torso, and they grew larger until they filled the space from one wall to the other. She had to close her mouth again. His coloring changed from tan to light gray, then even darker. The texture of his skin also transformed. She managed to stand, getting closer to him. Her hand trembled as she reached out, brushing her fingertips along his stomach.
Holy crap!
He felt like a statue. She snapped her head up, staring into his eyes. They looked alert, but his features had been frozen with the stiffening of his now dark gray skin. The color began to lighten until his lips curved. By the time he grinned at her enough to flash teeth, she got a glimpse of his fangs. They weren't quite vampire style, but close. His were wider with a slight curve at the end. They weren't made to siphon blood, but instead to tear something apart. He reached up and gently cupped her upper arms.
Are you okay? I'm putting away the wings.
She watched them shrink, heard the slight sounds as they shifted back inside his body. It was tempting to jerk free of his hold and walk around him to see where they disappeared into. She could guess it had to be somewhere near his shoulder blades.
Wow.
You're paler than usual, Mandy. Maybe you should sit.
I'm good. I'm just so surprised. I heard repeatedly that Gar Lycans never leave Alaska. The council, well, Korski, said we didn't have to worry about your kind.
They are idiots. We leave Alaska frequently. Vamp Lycans have had more skirmishes with vampires, though. It might be why your council is more familiar with them than us. That nest in Alaska that was taken out? They breached Vamp-Lycan territory to kidnap one of their men. Vesso got away, and our clans went after the nest in a joint effort. That master was batshit crazy. He wanted to breed a Vamp-Lycan with a human relative he'd kidnapped in hopes they'd have a daughter who he could crown as his queen or some such shit. Then one of his vamps fled and made a soldier, who he left behind. It attacked a small town, wiping out every human it came into contact with. Hell, it even made a few other soldiers before they were stopped.
That's not possible. Soldiers can't create others.
Nobody told the soldier that. Hate to break it to you, but they can. He did. Those are facts.
Shit!
Let's sit.
Good idea. She turned the second he released her and sat heavily on the bed. Glacier crouched in front of her.
What other questions do you have?
My mind is in a spin.
It's a lot of information to dump on you. I want you to know what you're getting into before you say yes to sharing a bed with me.
It doesn't change how I feel, Glacier. I still want to be with you.
Good. We'll live with the Lycan Pack, being their guardian. You can help me do that. We'll work nights. How does that sound?
Good. I mean, if they don't attack me. Some werewolves hate vampires.
They wouldn't dare hurt you. You'll be there with me.
He stood.
We should get some sleep. Tonight, we'll be heading to wherever Kelzeb sends us.
Her gaze snagged on the hole in his jeans, and she reached out, fingering it.
What really happened?
One of the vamps shot me, but I'd shelled. Bullets bounce off.
She lifted her head, peering up at him. Show me.
You want me to take off my pants?
Yes. He crouched again, gripping the mattress on either side of her hip.
I'll do more than show you where the bullet hit if I strip. My brother's gone right now, but the sun is going to come up at any minute. I want to take my time with you when we have sex.
I don't drift off, remember? I'll be slightly weaker, but that's it. It might even help with my urge to bite. Dull it a bit.
Mandy, I want you. But are you sure?
Yes. Chapter 10 Glacier wanted Mandy so much it hurt.
We have to be smart about this.
She nodded. The biting, right. Avoiding that. You could take me from behind. He grinned.
I like the way you think. Take off your clothes.
He backed off and reached for the front of his jeans, tearing them down his body. He removed his boxers next, avoiding looking at her until he straightened, nude. Mandy had stripped quickly, since she'd only worn one of his shirts and the baggy boxers. The sight of her on her hands and knees on the bed, her curvy ass bared, and the way she tossed her hair to peer at him over her shoulder, had his hard on at full mast. Mandy smiled, showing off those cute little fangs of hers as she spread her legs. He lowered his gaze. A growl rumbled from him. The hint of her arousal taunted him, but she wasn't ready for him. He approached her and gripped her hips, flipping her over onto her back. She gasped, looking surprised. He grinned, dropped to his knees, and grabbed her ankles. He tore her down to the end of the bed.
Spread them for me. I want a taste of you first.
You don't have to do that. He arched an eyebrow. I don't want to lie to you or fake anything. Total honesty. To get it? You have to give it.
I'm trying, but you haven't spread your legs for me yet.
She actually blushed. I'm talking about the truth, not oral sex. But you know that. I've had this done a few times by a guy. It didn't really do much for me. I'd like it better if you used your fingers down there to play with me while using your mouth on my breasts. That gets me really turned on.
I'm not him. Spread your thighs.
He licked his lips. She hesitated.
You want the truth?
Always from you.
I'm going to make damn sure I can get you off before I'm inside you. I don't think I'll last long enough to make it good for you the first time otherwise. You don't want me to feel guilty, do you?
She shook her head. No. Most men don't care, though.
I will. Now open for me and give me access.
She spread her legs wide and broke eye contact with him. He grinned. She looked uncomfortable, baring her pussy to him. A faint tinge of red showed on her pale skin.
Oh, baby, I'm going to break you of being shy.
He released her ankles, gripped her inner thighs, and pulled her closer. He applied enough strength to keep her pinned down and open, but was careful not to hurt her. He lowered his gaze, studying her hairless pussy. He'd never done a vamp.
You found a razor here.
No. Once I was turned, can we just not discuss this? She was so fucking cute.
I'll get an answer later on that.
Great. He noticed another difference. She was pale everywhere, including her pussy. He dipped his head, loving her scent. He took it as a challenge that she hadn't enjoyed oral sex before. He planned to change her mind. He focused on the little nub of her clit, giving it a few soft licks to test her sensitivity. Her muscles under his hands tensed, and she sucked in a sharp breath.
This was going to be fun.
He grew aggressive, applying more pressure. He gently sucked, and that earned him a throaty moan. He kept at it. She tried to squirm, moaning louder. One of her hands slid into his hair. He lifted up a little and grinned. She was pink now where his mouth had been. The bud had swollen, too. He lowered his mouth, licking and sucking harder. Her other hand slid into his hair, and she held him in place. He knew when she got close. Her fingernails dug into his scalp, but it didn't hurt. She tried to wiggle out from under him. He held her more firmly until she cried out his name and her clit began to soften. Her grip on him eased slowly. He lifted up a little. She was soaked now, the scent of her making him want to snarl and fuck her hard. Her pussy had become all pink and ready for him. He straightened on his knees at the end of the bed, grabbed her, and flipped her back onto her stomach. He backed off just enough to drag her off the bed and bend her over the mattress in front of him. She was short. Her knees didn't touch the floor. It made him smile as he gripped his stiff cock, adjusted the tip of it, and inched closer to line them up. He began to push into her and groaned. She was wet and tight.
Fuck, baby.
Oh, God, Gleisher.
I'm trying to go slow.
He came down over her to pin her in place, braced one hand on the bed, the other on her hip as he pushed into her deep. She felt like heaven and hell combined when he paused there.
You don't have to hold back.
She was much smaller than him. 120 at most, probably less. She'd always been petite. He closed his eyes and began to withdraw. He paused, thrusting forward until he was all in again. He tightened his hold and began to rock his hips. Pleasure and need overtook his ability to think as he fucked her harder, faster. She moaned loudly, encouraging him. Her hand wrapped around his wrist that he'd planted near her head, and her nails sank into his skin. He lost what little control he had left and hammered into her until he came hard. He groaned her name. He buried his face into her hair.
Did I hurt you?
No,
she panted back.
You didn't come a second time.
She hesitated. He chuckled.
Don't lie to me.
I was close.
He released her hip and wiggled his hand between her and the mattress until he pressed his finger against her clit. She jerked under him as he began to rub. His dick remained hard, not softening yet. He slowly fucked her. She moaned and he felt her vaginal muscles tighten around his shaft until it damn near hurt. She came quickly. He stilled, smiling.
Now we know you can get off without biting.
She chuckled.
Do you need to feed?
I'm good. I am tired, though. Is it bad that I want to just sleep?
No, it's daylight.
She yawned.
I'm like a guy. You got me off, and now I'm going to snooze.
He laughed and slowly withdrew from her. He adjusted his hold and helped her climb onto the bed. She crawled up the mattress, and he loved watching her move that way. She had the grace of a cat, only a sexy naked one. His dick perked up with interest, but he ignored the urge. He followed her, shoving down the covers.
I need to ask you something.
What?
Is there a chance you'll bite me while you're asleep?
She turned and faced him. Her eyes widened.
I don't know. I've never slept with someone before.
Fair enough.
He lay down and pulled her closer.
Roll over. I want to spoon you. It'll also help keep your mouth away from my throat, facing away from me. I do want you close, though.
She rolled over and wiggled backward, snuggling her backside to his front. He only had one pillow, so he used it and gave her his arm. He liked it when she placed her head on him. He curled around her, getting comfortable.
You fit nice here.
I like being held by you. I feel safe.
You are. Sleep, baby.
Glacier?
Yes.
He rested his chin on the top of her head.
Never mind.
Don't do that. You can say anything to me.
She kept her head turned away, but she placed her hand on his arm, caressing his skin.
I was really lonely until you came along. Please don't be too good to be true.
I have way too many flaws for that.
You know what I mean. I could get used to this. To you. Too used to it, you know?
He understood what she meant.
I'll make a deal with you. I won't leave you if you don't leave me.
You might be stuck with me forever then.
He held her a little tighter.
I'm willing to chance it. What's the longest relationship you've ever been in?
7 months, but then I found out he cheated on me.
I'm not going to do that. I've never committed before, but I am now. We'll make this work. We both want it to. We'll take it one day at a time.
Okay.
Sleep. We've got a lot of road to cover tonight.
He knew when she drifted off less than a minute later. Her breathing slowed to a pace that would have alarmed him if he wasn't aware that was normal for her kind. It's why most people thought vampires were dead during the day. She probably took a breath about every minute, and her heart only beat 4 times between breaths. Glacier napped until he heard the door downstairs close. He carefully got out of bed without waking Mandy, put on his boxers, and went to talk to his brother. Pest placed bags on the counter and inhaled. He cocked his head, watching him.
She didn't bite me. Good. I grabbed some food. You should eat. I'm fine. Let me rephrase that. I'm not getting laid, and I love pussy. Eat something so that when you talk, I'm smelling food instead of short stack on your breath. It's just mean. Asshole.
Glacier sniffed, dug into the bag that smelled like food, and found where his brother had shoved another bag full of breakfast sandwiches inside. He unwrapped one and began to eat.
I take it you worked out kissing without her nailing your tongue with her fangs? We haven't kissed. Shit, that's rough. Then again, you're the one-night stand king. You probably don't do that. Relationships are different. I don't need advice. Mandy and I will figure it out. Did you get her some clothes and a helmet?
Yeah. Pest pointed to one of the bags. Tinted face shields. I bought 2 with headsets. I figured you'd like to be able to talk to each other without yelling. I tried one on to be sure it fit you, and guessed hers would be smaller. I hope they're comfortable.
Thanks. No problem.
Any word yet from Kelzeb on where he's sending you?
No. It's just after 9. I figure it'll be a few hours.
I'll stick around to make sure the Lycans don't try to keep you here tonight when you head out.
I rented a motorcycle. It's not nearly as nice as yours, but it will do until we blow this city and we're far from their territory. I'll return it when we part ways before I fly to my next gig. I did get orders this morning. What's the mission? I'm on my way to Miami. There's been some bodies found. It might be a serial killer, but I need to make sure it's a human doing the killing and not something else. Blood drained, torn up, cut up, but not all the pieces have been found. 4 dead in the past 8 days. I'll hit the scenes where body parts were discovered and sniff around. Some of them were inside buildings. They might mean scents have lingered that I can pick up. Good luck. Check in. I always do. I'm going back to bed to get some sleep. See you around 5. We'll hit the road as soon as the sun is down.
Glacier headed upstairs and entered the bedroom, prepared to climb back in when his cell dinged. He bent, retrieved it from his jeans, and turned it on. He had 2 missed calls and a 6 texts. The number all of them had come from had him curling his lip and heading back out of the bedroom. He returned downstairs to find his brother still eating.
What's up? Fucking Kevin. I'm going to call him back. He sent me a couple of messages.
He didn't bother to read the texts, but instead just called the Alpha. Kevin answered on the first ring.
I want you to come to me right now to fight. I've assembled the entire pack to witness it. Fuck you. I'm not challenging you, Kevin.
You were drunk last night and being stupid. I refuse to apologize because you're an idiot.
Pest snorted a laugh.
How dare you? I saved your life. You're welcome. I don't want your pack. I just wanted to save Lycan kids, and I did. Marco and his second are dead. Your problem is solved. I'm out of here tonight, and you'll never see me again. I've been challenged twice this morning. I had to kill two members of my pack because of you. I'm not letting this go. Stop being a coward. Get your ass in front of the pack house. I'm going to fucking kill you to show my people that I deserve to be their alpha. I'm a Gar Lycan, Kevin, not an alpha. You get that I can turn to stone and just stand there until you've worn yourself out from doing me absolutely no harm, don't you? What's the point of that? I don't want to kill you either. Do you know why? Because I don't want to lead your pack. I punched you because you were drunk as shit and not listening to me. Marco and his second were in your territory, on their way to distract your pack. They would have taken you down faster than you could have said fucked. Understand? Kevin snarled. You didn't even give me the chance to kill the vamps. You humiliated me! You did that to yourself by getting drunk when your pack was still in danger. You had them out of lockdown. How many of them would have been killed wandering around the woods thinking they were safe? Especially since they were drunk. You won't come fight me. No, I won't. There's no point. Kick some ass if you're challenged and handle it. It's not my problem. Kevin snarled. Glacier met his brother's stare and rolled his eyes. I want you to leave my territory within the hour, you coward. Kevin, that's not going to happen. I have a vampire with me that Lord Avioth wants to keep alive to learn more about their council. She's been cooperative. That makes it even better. You embarrass me in front of my pack? Now you'll fail your mission to turn over the vampire to your lord. I hope he kills you for failing him. You're going to get out of my territory within the hour and leave the vampire in the building for us to collect. You try to leave with it and we'll attack until it's dead. Either way, you lose, asshole. This guy is a fucking idiot, Pest whispered. Glacier held his brother's gaze. Pest could easily hear the conversation in the quiet room, with them standing so close together. He gave a grim nod. Don't make threats, Kevin. You don't want to fuck with me or Lord Avioth, Glacier warned. Step outside, asshole.
Glacier walked to the door and unlocked it. He peered out into the alley. The scent of trash hung in the air, but sudden movement above drew his eye. He looked up to see six Lycans standing on the roof of the next building, watching him back. He turned his head, spotting more on other roofs. He backed inside.
What are you doing, Kevin?
You're not going to embarrass me without paying for it. I gave you the chance to face me with honor. You refuse to fight?
You're not leaving with the vampire. I'm taking it from you.
I don't want to start a war with the Gar Lycans, but I will. You've got 1 hour to leave. You try to take the vamp, my men will open fire.
I mean, you did encourage us to use guns. We'll shoot the fuck out of the vampire if you carry it out. Enough holes and it'll ash. And it's daylight anyway. What are you gonna do, asshole? Carry it down the street in a body bag in front of humans?
Kevin laughed.
Or just stay in there. My men followed Graves after you dropped off that borrowed van. You know those explosives you wouldn't let me use at the restaurant? We have them, asshole. They've been planted around the exterior of your building. So stay there, please. You might survive if gargoyles are as tough as you claim, but the vamp won't. It'll be blown to bits. And don't think I didn't learn from you either. There's one sewer tunnel under that place. It's rigged to blow if you try to access it.
Pest motioned to the door and made a few hand signals. Glacier nodded.
Do any of your Lycans out there have cell phones, Kevin? Of course.
He nodded at Pest. His brother yanked open the door and stepped out, glaring up at the pack.
You should call them. I'm not the only Gar Lycan here, dick. Your pack is getting a visual on another one now. You don't want to do this. Fuck you! I don't care if there are a dozen of you assholes. You're going to pay for embarrassing me.
Glacier grit his teeth.
Fine. You want to fight? I'm on my way.
That option is off the table now. Kevin snickered.
You leave that building to come after me? Hell, anyone does, and my enforcers blow it. You might come kill me, but your vamp will be chunks.
He laughed.
I always get my revenge.
He disconnected.
Fuck!
Pest backed inside the building, locking the door.
I missed the last part. We leave to go after him and he blows the building to kill Mandy. We stay after 1 hour, he's going to blow it anyway.
Fuck! How are we gonna get her out of here? They're sporting guns. A few of them flashed them at me just now. That prick is right about what's going to happen if we wrap Shortstack in a tarp and carry her out. I saw humans down on both streets. Gunfire will draw them, the cops will come, and it'll turn into a fucking media mess.
There's only one thing to do then. We all need to walk out of here.
Pest stared at him, precious long seconds passing.
Fuck. You can't do it, bro. What choice do I have? Leave Mandy to die? I won't. Stay here and have us both shell around her, hoping our bodies protect her?
We'd be buried under rubble and the humans would eventually start digging.
They'd find us.
You can't just make that decision without permission first. This is Lord Avioth Big. Glacier closed his eyes.
Yeah, I know.
He's never going to agree to it. It's law, bro. Glacier took some deep breaths.
I have to ask.
He called Kelzeb.
I've called both alphas. They are discussing it. Neither has gotten back to me yet,
his boss stated after answering the phone.
I need to speak to Lord Avioth.
Kelzeb didn't answer. Glacier filled him in quickly.
I need to talk to him.
Fuck. I'll call you back in 5 minutes. He's in his quarters with his mate. I need to give him an update and then you'll get his answer.
Don't be long. I don't trust that crazy Lycan to not just blow the building.
I'm leaving my office now. He hung up. Pest began to pack things up.
No means no. If Avioth denies your request, you can't just do it anyway. It's gargoyle law. He'll have no choice but to order you punished and her put to death.
He's pretty cool, but he can't let something like that slide. It would make him look weak to the entire clan. Shit's already tense, thanks to our departed dickhead of a father. Avioth has a mate to consider, too.
I know.
Glacier sighed.
I'm going to get dressed.
He rushed upstairs, put on clothes, his boots, and packed his shit. He woke Mandy. She startled and sat up.
I don't have time to explain. Run downstairs, get what Pest bought for you, and blacken your hair right now.
She looked confused.
Do it fast.
She got out of bed, put on one of his shirts, and stumbled past him out of the bedroom. Pest met her in the hallway.
Here's Shortstack. Spray on hair color, clothes, and some makeup are in these bags. Need help with covering your hair in the back since Glacier's busy?
I got it, Pest. Thanks.
What's going on?
You heard my bro. No time to explain. Just hustle your ass. Faster is better. We might be attacked at any moment.
Glacier met her frightened gaze and nodded.
Hurry.
He began to shove all his things inside his bag. Minutes later, his phone buzzed. He answered it.
What a fucking mess.
A deep voice rumbled.
Kelzeb told me everything. Thank you for calling me, my lord. I can't let her die. You know what I'm asking, but I've been loyal to you. I just need to feed her once, just for today. It's a huge fucking risk. I know. We're changing her appearance. No one will recognize her for what she really is.
Lord Avioth grumbled.
I have Jill. I get it. I'd level this entire fucking place to keep her safe. I have a condition, though. Are you prepared to do whatever it takes to save this vampire of yours? This is a big fucking rule to break. I need to cover my ass, because at some point, someone is going to find out. I can handle the Garlikens, but the Full-Bloods here might raise hell. This law is thousands of years old. In Europe, it's an instant death sentence for you both. Every fucking clan would hunt you down to end your lives. Thankfully, I'm the biggest power in the United States as far as gargoyles go. What terms? Tell me. You made her, Glacier. I can sell that shit to our clan when they find out. We all respect mates. It also means keeping her away from any lichen packs. If they find out, we're all in danger, because that information is valuable. I'll figure something out, though, since you can't bring her here. You have my permission to feed her if you mate her. One other thing. What? Glacier's heart pounded. He was willing to mate Mandy to keep her safe. If you ever part ways, it's by death. If she ever betrays us, you put her down yourself. Swear to it. She can't ever share this knowledge. She'll be your mate, or she'll be ash after you feed her. The fucking clans in Europe might come after us if you let her go and word spreads. I won't risk the lives of our people or our vamp-like neighbors who would find themselves in the middle of a war zone. He closed his eyes. I swear on my honor. Do it. Feed her, and once she's your mate, your body belongs to her. That includes your blood. I won't have you weakened by your mate in the future. Do you understand me? He opened his eyes, stunned. Lord Avioth was giving him permission to allow his mate to feed from him whenever she needed to. I do. Thank you. You're welcome. Get the fuck out of there and call Kelzeb when you're safely out of their territory. No one threatens one of mine this way. I'm sending your brothers to deal with the Alpha. Tempest is already here. Once the Enforcer attacked Mandy, I asked him to be with her when I had to leave her alone. He said he had some downtime. Nebulus is two states over from you. Kelzeb is sending him orders now. I don't expect you to lie to your brothers. Kelzeb will also inform Creed what's going on. Now get the hell out of there as soon as you mate her. You can romance her later. Lord Avioth hung up and Glacier shoved his phone into his pocket. I love that guy. Pest grinned from the doorway. I heard what he said. Give me your bag. I'll have us ready to roll by the time you come downstairs. You know that talk Neb had with us about taking our time screwing women? Forget it. Ultimate quickie, bro. I want out of here in 10 minutes. Glacier watched him leave and sighed. 10 minutes to talk to Mandy, get her to agree to become his mate, and seal the deal. Shit. Chapter 11. Mandy finished her hair, staring in the dingy mirror and tilting her head from side to side, hoping she'd covered every inch of blonde with black. The smell of the spray had her wrinkling her nose. It wasn't the greatest odor. It worked, though. She put the bottle down and ripped open the makeup. They were the wrong colors for her very pale skin, but it didn't matter. Any color would be good. She worked fast, spreading the foundation from the roots at her forehead all the way down her neck, including any spots that wouldn't be covered by a shirt. She even used some on her hands and arms up to her shoulders. Lastly, she used a towel to gently pat and remove any excess to keep it from staining her clothes when she got dressed. It was a shit makeup job, she thought, as she dabbed on mascara, a little blush, and an ugly shade of pink lipstick. It didn't matter. She wasn't planning on getting close to anyone once Glacier was able to free her from whatever he wrapped her inside to protect her from the sun. Being transported during the day would be dangerous, but she had faith in Glacier to keep her safe. The bathroom door opened and Glacier slid in. He closed the door behind him. She turned, staring into his eyes.
We don't have a lot of time.
What's going on? Fast version.
Kevin had his pack plant bombs on the outside of this building. He gave me 1 hour to leave. He blows us up if I don't. I'm also supposed to leave you behind. He threatened to have his enforcers shoot big holes in whatever I carry you out in to expose you to sun. He won't let any large vehicles get near the building either. Pest and I have our motorcycles parked outside the back door. It means we have to drive out on them.
Her heart sank. Shit. Why are you having me change how I look, then? You need to leave me behind.
That's never going to happen.
He stepped forward and gripped her hips, his thumbs brushing her bare skin since she hadn't gotten dressed yet or even looked in the bag of clothes Pest had shoved at her.
I spoke to Lord Avioth. He gave me permission to save you. There are conditions. We have to mate.
She reached out and gripped his arms. Mate?
And we don't have much time. Mate. It's forever. You and me. I can't force you, but please say yes. We can make it work.
Tears filled her eyes. She would love to spend the rest of her life with Glacier, to never be alone, to have him at her side, and to experience what she had earlier, sleeping curled in front of him every time they rested. He felt like home, something she hadn't had since her human life had been taken from her.
Answer me, Mandy. Yes? Will you be my mate?
They're going to kill you if you try to take me out of here. There's no way to do it. We're in a city. It's daylight. Humans can't see you go gray, Glacier. Every race would put a price on your head. I care too much about you to allow you to do that for me.
Do you trust me, baby?
She didn't have to think about it. Yes.
Good enough. Once a gargoyle mates, within hours, his woman experiences the calling. It's complicated, but we can't risk that. I don't think Lord Avioth considered that when he ordered me to mate you first. I trust you too. Say yes to mating me, and then we're going to walk the fuck out of here together. Tonight, though, I'm sealing the bond between us.
What are you talking about? I can't walk out of here. It's broad daylight. He pulled her closer.
Say yes. You'll mate me. Do it. Promise to be mine. Trust me.
She swallowed. I promise to be yours. Yes, I'll be your mate. He lowered his head and put his lips next to her ear.
The reason vampires and gargoyles have battled for thousands of years is because really old masters knew that drinking our blood allows them to walk in the sun without burning.
Her knees almost gave out on her, and she clutched him tighter. It shocked the hell out of her. Could that be true?
It's why it's against the law to feed you. I got permission from Lord Avioth, but only if you're my mate. Get your fangs out, baby. Bite and drink as much from me as you can. You need to do it now.
He cocked his head and bent his knees a little.
Bite. Now. Drink.
She was too stunned. He gently shook her.
Do it.
How? I mean...
The sun won't burn you if you drink my blood. No more time to discuss it. Bite me, baby. Drink as much as you can hold.
I'll weaken you. He snorted.
I'm twice your size, and I've lost more blood in a training fight with one of my brothers than you could take from me, even if you're starved. Do it. We don't have time to waste.
She had to concentrate to get her fangs to come down. He slid his hands to her ass, massaging her. It helped a lot, her body responding. Everything about Glacier turned her on. She licked her lips, staring at his throat, which he kept exposed. She leaned in and went to her tiptoes. She ran the tip of her tongue over his skin and sank her fangs in. He stiffened against her and tightened his hold.
Damn. I'm so hard. I wish I could fuck you right now.
She did, too. He tasted incredible. Her body ached as she drank from him, sexual need and bloodlust rising. She caressed his arms, trying to keep her sanity. She couldn't get lost or they'd end up on the floor. The building was rigged to blow. No way did she want to lose the chance at a future with Glacier. She drank until she couldn't anymore, before gently easing her fangs from him, licking at his skin. His grip on her ass would leave bruises, and his hard-on pressed firmly against her pelvis. His cock felt rock hard. She could relate,
since she was so wet it dampened her inner thighs. He backed off and leaned against the door. His eyes blazed with arousal, and his own fangs were out as they stared at each other.
Do some jumping jacks and get dressed.